Good morning. Welcome to our online service. Now, there'll be no refreshments served from our coffee talk this morning. You're going to have to make your own tea and coffee at home. But what we do want to do is we want to do some of the usual things that we normally do when we gather here in this building. And so we want to sing this morning. We want to pray. We want to listen to God's word. And we want to worship God together. God's word says in Psalm 28 and verse 7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I am helped. My heart exalts, and with my song I give thanks to him." And we want to exalt, we want to rejoice, and we want to worship the Lord this morning. The first song that we're going to sing is actually based on this psalm, Psalm 28. It's called "Made Me Glad." It's recorded by one of our praise teams. You'll find it on our church album. And after we sing, one of our praise leaders, Alison Smith, is going to pray with us.
I will bless the Lord forever. my very present help in time of need.
Let's talk to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we bow our hearts before you now, and we want to praise you and give you all the glory you deserve today. We want to lift your name high and to see you exalted above all other things. Father God, you have indeed made us glad this morning. And how amazing that we can call you our rock, our shelter, our deliverer, and our strong tower. And we thank you for the reassurance, comfort, and hope that it brings to each of us who know you, that special security and peace that comes only from you. Father, we are so thankful that you are with us at all times, that you never leave us, and we can know you are our very present help in time of need. Heavenly Father, this morning we ask for your help in our lives. Help us to honour you every day, to live for you in our homes and workplaces. Help those who need a special touch from you today, those who may be lonely, sick, sad or struggling. Help and bless those people who are working hard in our health service and have key roles in our community and government. Help us, Father, to leave our concerns, our worries and any anxious thoughts with you, trusting that you are greater than they are and that you are able to undertake for us. Help us to remember that you are sovereign and that you are in control in every circumstance. Father, we also want to acknowledge your goodness to us. We have so much to be thankful for. We are grateful for your goodness to us in sending Jesus to save us, for his death on the cross in our place, and his glorious resurrection. Thank you for your goodness to us in the material blessings we enjoy, for our homes, our possessions, our clothing and food. And thank you for your goodness to us in creation, for this season of spring, for sunshine and new growth. Thank you for your goodness to us by giving us friends and family who love us, support us and care for us. And we thank you for our church family too. Thank you for the people you have placed together so that we can love, encourage and pray for one another. Thank you for our deacons, elders and for our pastor. And thank you for the way that we can worship you together in our own homes, even although we are apart. Thank you for your goodness to us, for giving us your word. And Father, help us this morning as we hear from your word. Help us as we study it, and we ask that we would learn anew from it. We pray all these things in the precious and most worthy name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Alison. Now, lockdown has affected many of the things that we normally do here at church. One of the things we can't do on an online service is collect our offering. Now, a number of people have been asking us how they can continue to financially support the work and ministry of the church. There's a number of ways you can do that. You can make a check out to the church and send it to the church address. Or if you want to do it electronically, contact us and we will pass on the bank details for our church. If you want to ask any more questions, you can contact our church treasurer, Tim Campbell. Now, lockdown has not only affected our church services, what we do, it also affected our church missionaries and what they're able to do at the moment as well. And one of our missionary couples, Simon and Jean, are going to give us an update on their work and ministry with Child Evangelism Fellowship in County Cavan.
Hi there. Hello from Belturbet here in Cavan to all of you there in Carrickfergus or wherever you're watching the service from this morning. So we hope you're all well in these days of Zoom calls and FaceTime and WhatsApp chats. So it's good to be able to send you this video this morning just to give you an update on how we're all doing.
So like all of you, things here have changed somewhat. One of those things that has changed is that we are having school at home. We're doing a bit of homeschooling. So that's good fun, isn't it, Bronwyn?
Yeah.
You've got a really good teacher, haven't you?
Yeah.
And I'm just going to ask Bronwyn a question. What is your favourite thing about homeschooling?
Lunchtime, because I get to make whatever I want.
Okay. And Bronwyn has been trying out some new recipes, and she has learned to make the most delicious scrambled egg on toast. Mm. It's absolutely gorgeous. So if you want the recipe, you'll have to Text Bronwyn.
Very good, very good, Brahma. Now, Jessica, things have been a little sadder for you. I know there was a certain announcement over the last few weeks that wasn't so good. Do you want to tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, I was a little sad with all the restrictions because my school trip to Paris was cancelled. Yeah, but hopefully we will be able to go next year.
Yeah, so the school trip that you've been looking forward to all year, unfortunately, with many things, was cancelled. Robin, on the other hand, was slightly happier about an announcement that came out from school. Do you want to tell us what that was?
Yeah, my junior cert got cancelled, so that's good.
The exams were cancelled, okay, but what have you got in September instead?
They're like just like class test things.
Okay, so all the exams that you've been looking forward to in June have been replaced by some class tests in September, so that means you're going to be revising over the summer, is that right?
No.
Maybe not.
So we obviously have been planning for a different summer ministry. So we've been planning to do some 5-day clubs, holiday Bible clubs, camp, obviously is a big one. And we were hoping to take a team down to Tullamore to help out with some kids' work down there. But obviously we're not sure what's going to happen with those. So yeah, we're still planning as best we can for those. And one of the things Simon did last week was he booked the swimming pool in Bundoran for camp. We usually go there every year with the children for camp. So I think he booked it for 50 kids. So we'll definitely be going there in August no matter what.
That's right. We'll have faith. Camp will go ahead. Yeah, so I thought I'd just book the pool there. Need to book the bus now as well to get us there. But yeah, with things being cancelled, we, along with other churches and yourselves, have been moving on to recording our Good News Clubs on video and then sending those out to the children. So that's been a bit of a challenge for us, a fun challenge too. It's been good to get to see all the production side of things as well. I know the girls have been helping us out with that, and I think by the end of it we'll be able to work for the BBC or RT or something, and we'll definitely have enough material to send to Harry Hill for all his outtakes and blooper reel as well. So it's been a challenge, but we've been enjoying that side of the ministry as well.
So we'd really, really appreciate your prayers, you know, for the coming months, just that the boys and girls would actually watch those Good News Clubs online. And I really would appreciate if you would pray for the boys and girls who we were able to speak to over the past year, that they would remember what they had been taught from God's Word, and that that would encourage them and help them maybe in this time that's scary and difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, and we'd also just appreciate prayer for us as a family, for the girls, as they would again have their homeschooling. And then for come September time, Bronwyn will be at new school and Jessica will be into her leaving cert years. And again, Robin, as she would do her tests in September. But also for Jane and I, just as we continue to serve the Lord through CEF here in Cavan, just that we would just keep going in the ministry that that we have started here. So yeah, just supporting the local churches and the things that we're involved with, would appreciate prayer for that. And just as we finish, I want to say a massive thank you to all of you there, Carrickfergus, for your prayers for us, your support for us, your letters and texts and all of those things. We really, really appreciate. It means so much to us here in Cavan.
Please do pray for Simon and Gia and continue to pray for their work and ministry in County Cavan. I'm going to do that now. I'm going to take some time to pray for them, but also some church matters as well. This week has been a very sad week for our church family. Two of our long-standing members, Eleanor McElfatrick and Joe Kincaid, passed away earlier in the week. And so we want to take some time now. We want to pray. We want to give thanks for their life and their faith in Christ as well. But we also want to pray for their grieving families at this sad and difficult time. And so as a church family, we want to mourn with those who mourn, and we want to grieve with those who grieve. And if part of the body is hurting, we hurt with them also. So let's join our hearts together and let's pray. Dear Father, we do pray thanks for Simon and Jean. We thank you for their willingness to serve you, and we pray, Lord God, you be with them. You would bless them. You put your hand of protection and keeping upon them, for Simon, for Jean, for Jessica, for Robin, for Bronwyn as well. We pray for them at this difficult time, this time of lockdown, when lots of their regular ministries have been cancelled or changed. Help them not to be discouraged, but help them to look for every opportunity to share the wonderful message that Jesus saves with boys and girls throughout the county of Calvin. Help them on their online ministry, help them in their preparation for future ministry, and really bless them. May you encourage them in their work, and may they know that we as a church family here in Carrick love them, care for them, and are continuing to pray for them. We also come before you with real sadness in our hearts this week. We want to come before you because we're grieving the loss of Elner and Joe. We thank you, Lord God, for their lives and their faith in you. We thank you that for Elner, it was as a child, she put her faith and trust as Christ as her Saviour. For Joe, as a young married man. But Lord God, we rejoice today that because of their faith, they are absent from their body and present with their Lord and Saviour. We thank you, there is hope. There is hope for the believer, even in death, because Jesus Christ lives and he is the resurrection and the life. We pray for those who have been left behind. We pray for Elner's family. We pray for Alan and Sonia, for Ryan and for Matt. We pray for Lynn and for Ian and for Ellen. May you comfort them. May you, the God of all comfort and grace, be close to them at this sad time. We pray for Joe's widow, Ruby. May you be with her. May you bless her. May you be her strength and her shield. We pray for his children. We pray for Sam and Mark and Christine and all the grandchildren and great-grandchildren as well. At this sad time, may they look to you. May you be all that they need. May you bless them. And we pray for us as a church family. May we continue to support them practically and in prayer as well. And together as a church family, may we support one another. Help us to do this and bless us. And we pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Now, I've just been praying, and prayer is such an important thing of what we do here in the life of our church. And what I want to do now is continue our little series we've been doing with the children on Sunday mornings, looking at prayer. We took a break over the last few weeks over Easter time, but we want to pick it up again. And we have been using this book here. This book is called What Every Child Should Know About Prayer. And it's not only what every child should know, it's also what every adult should know as well. If I was to ask you boys and girls, what is a Christian? I wonder how you would answer that question. Well, a Christian is somebody who has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, have asked him to be their saviour. But part of being a Christian is you follow Jesus Christ. He's our leader, he's our example, and we follow, we imitate the things that he does. I wonder if you've ever played the game Follow the Leader. It's a really simple game. You all sit in a circle and one person in the circle is chosen to be the leader and they do lots of actions. And everybody else has got to follow the leader, copy exactly what they're doing. So maybe they start clapping their hands or they wave their hands above their head or start scratching their nose, lots of different things. You've got to do exactly what they do. You've got to follow the leader. Well, if you're a Christian, your leader, the one you follow, is Jesus Christ. He set us an example of how we should live our lives as people who love God and follow Jesus. And one of the things Jesus loved to do when he lived here on earth was he prayed. He prayed constantly. And so if you follow him, you follow his example, you should be somebody who loves to pray as well. Let's look at what the book says. It says, Jesus loved to talk to his Father about everything. He prayed early in the morning and late into the night. He prayed by himself and with other people. He prayed out in the wilderness and up on a mountain. He prayed before meals and throughout the day. Prayer was a part of all of life for Jesus. And then it gives us some verses about Jesus and prayer. It says in Mark 1 and 35, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. And then in Luke 6 and 12, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night. Jesus shows us what a life of prayer looks like. The more we pray, the more we want to talk to God about everything too. So let's do that now. Let's take some time and let's pray to God. Dear God, we thank you that you are a great God who hears and answers prayer. We thank you for the example that your son Jesus Christ left us, that he was somebody who prayed constantly. And so we pray that you'd help each one of us, the boys and girls, the adults as well, anyone who loves you as Saviour, to be people who constantly pray. Sometimes it's hard to pray. We don't know what to say. Sometimes our mind wanders. So help us to concentrate. Help us to know what to say and to be people who love to talk to our Heavenly Father. Help us, we pray. And we ask this in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we're going to sing a special song with the children. It's one of the favourites with the boys and girls here in Carrick Baptist. And it's called Just the Way God Wanted Us to Be.
God made the earth and filled it full with seas and trees and animals. And then he made a man. But Adam, he was incomplete. So God gave him a helper, Eve, to carry out his plan. This happy husband and his wife, they showed the world what God is like until they disobeyed. And even though they lost it all, we still see fingerprints of God in everyone he makes. We are the image of the God of all the world. He made us boy, he made us girl. Different pieces of the puzzle joined together perfectly. We are just the way God wanted us to be. We're shades of brown, we're short and tall, but God himself designed us all unique so we could see. He wants each one to play a part, to show the world the Father's heart, to have a family. We are the image of the God of all the world. He made us boy, he made us girl. Different pieces of the puzzle joined together perfectly. We are just the way God wanted us to be. We are just the way God wanted us to be. We are just the way God wanted us to be.
Now this week the big TV show has been the ITV drama called Quiz. I don't know if you watched it. It's based on a true story, the story of Charles Ingram and his attempt to cheat his way to £1 million on the game show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Now I think the title of the game show says it all. Who wants to be a millionaire? Ask yourself that question at home. Would you want to be a millionaire? And probably, if you're honest with yourself, most of you would say, yep, that sounds pretty good. £1 million would make a massive difference in my life. And that's why people are prepared to go to extraordinary lengths to win that kind of money. That's what the TV program was all about. But if you could win all that money, if you could be a millionaire, here's the truth. It would actually just be pennies. It would just be loose change in comparison to the spiritual riches which are ours, the spiritual blessings which are ours, if we have our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Because if you're a believer, you have been blessed with something even greater. You've been blessed with something that lasts a lot longer than even £1 million. That's why Jesus said these words when he was here on earth. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his soul? As he weighed that up, it was a losing deal. You could have all the money in the world, all the millions of pounds, and yet you're spiritually bankrupt if you lose your soul. To have spiritual riches, to have spiritual blessings, far outweighs all the money and all the treasure that you could find here on earth. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the church in Ephesus, and he wanted them to know this exact thing. He wanted these Christians in this local church in Ephesus to know how blessed they were in Christ Jesus. The spiritual riches that were now theirs because of their faith. So Paul wanted the church at Ephesus to know this. God also wants each one of us to know this as well. That's why these words have been recorded in Scripture. And so this morning we're going to start a new series. We're going to work our way through this New Testament letter, the letter to the Ephesians. And our first reading from chapter 1 is going to be done this morning by one of our church members, Rachel Johnston.
The reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. Amen.
Thank you, Rachel. Now, the letter to the Ephesians starts in the normal way you find in most letters in the Bible. It starts by telling us who the writer was. It's the Apostle Paul. And later we find out in this letter, as he writes it, he's actually in prison. He's in a Roman prison in Caesarea, and he's in that prison not because he's done anything wrong, but because of false accusations made against him. He's actually suffering because of his faith and his desire to proclaim Christ to other people. So Paul's the writer, and the letter's addressed to a church, a local church in a place called Ephesus. Paul's been to Ephesus twice before. He was there for a short period, and he encouraged some of the local Christians, Aquila and Priscilla. And then he spent a three-year period, and he used it as his base to proclaim the gospel, and he had a huge impact on that area of Asia. And as he writes this letter, he writes to encourage the believers in this local church. It's not like some of his other letters. In some of his other letters, like the letter to the Colossians, he's writing to correct an error that has crept into the church, some false teaching. There's none of that addressed here. What he's doing is he's writing to encourage them, to let them know all the blessings that are theirs in Christ Jesus, but also to instruct them how they should live in the light of it. Because it follows that formula that runs the whole way through Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. And we thought about this a few weeks ago as we were in our Old Testament series in the book of Joshua, because this pattern that runs through Scripture is, it tells us, first of all, here's what God has done for you. And in the light of what God has done, this is what you should do. This is how you should behave. And you find exactly the same in the letter of Ephesians. So the first part of the book is all what God has done for you. And then the second half of the book, in the light of what God has done, this is how you should behave. This is how you should live your Christian life. Now, after the greetings at the start, the first two verses, we run from verse 3 through to 14. That's part of what Rachel read to us. There's 12 verses. And these 12 verses are 12 of the most incredible verses in all of Scripture. Now, in our English Bibles, we have punctuation. So if we read these 12 verses, verse 3 through to verse 14, you will find commas and full stops. That made it so much easier for Rachel to read the passage to us. She knew where to stop, where to pause. But actually, you don't find that in the original language. When Paul wrote this in Greek, it was one long sentence. Do you know when you're really, really excited and you want to share something with other people, you don't pause because you just want to get it all out. It just flows out in one big burst and you keep on talking and talking and talking without stopping. That's exactly what's happening here. It is just flowing out, not from the mouth of Paul, but from his pen. He launches into this overflow of praise in these 12 verses without stopping to share with us all the blessings, all the spiritual blessings and riches which are ours in Christ Jesus. Now, these 12 verses are one long string of words. I want you to imagine that this long string of words is actually like a chain, a necklace, a beautiful piece of jewelry. And all along this string, this chain, this beautiful necklace, every so often you will find a precious jewel, probably like a diamond, something sparkling, something that will grasp your attention. And along this chain, each of these precious jewels is a spiritual blessing. It's a spiritual treasure which is ours in Christ Jesus. Now, sometimes when we're preaching, when we're doing a teaching series here in church, we will look at the big picture. We will stand back and look at the panorama. That's what we did when we went through the book of Joshua. It had 24 chapters, and we did it in about 10 weeks, and we looked at big portions of Scripture, and we stood back, and we looked at the big picture. But sometimes as we look at God's Word, we like to look up close and in detail. And that's what we're going to do over the next 5 weeks as we work our way through these 12 verses, this string of words that the Apostle Paul has put together. And we're going to be like the jeweler. Do you know why sometimes the jeweler takes out the magnifying lens, that little lens that he puts up to his eye? Because he wants to have a close look. He wants to examine a precious jewel. He wants to look at the beauty of a diamond, to see it from every angle, to see every sparkle. That's what we're going to do. We're going to take our time and we're going to look up very close at these spiritual jewels, these spiritual blessings that Paul shares with the church in Ephesus. These five spiritual jewels or blessings are listed in this passage, and Paul praises God for them. Here are the five precious jewels. First of all, he shares with the Ephesians that they were chosen in Christ, and then they were adopted in Christ, they were redeemed in Christ Jesus, they have obtained an eternal spiritual inheritance, and the fifth and final one is they've also been sealed. They've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And all these blessings have been made freely available for everyone who is in Christ. Now, that is a repeated phrase throughout the book of Ephesians, actually a repeated phrase throughout the New Testament as well. It talks about being in Christ. That's really what a Christian is. A Christian is somebody who is in Christ. It means they have been joined to Christ. They have union with Christ. And the Bible uses different images to explain this. Sometimes it talks about the union with Christ like a marriage, the way a husband and wife are joined together, they have a union. Sometimes the image is that of a vine where the branches are all joined together. They are joined in union with Christ. And sometimes the example is that of a body where Christ is the head and we, believers, Christians, are different parts of the body, not separate, but all the body joined together and in union. Now let's pause there for a moment. If you're watching this today and you're not in Christ, you're not a true believer, you're not joined to Christ by faith, you are spiritually bankrupt. You're missing out on the greatest blessings. You might be rich in terms of this world. You might even be a millionaire, but you're living like a pauper spiritually because you've missed out on all these precious jewels that Paul lists here, which are the blessings for those who have been joined to Christ by faith. Paul starts praising God. Let me read verse 3 again to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ and with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Do you hear that word? Every spiritual blessing. He hasn't held any back. We lack no spiritual blessing. It's not as if we have to wait for something else. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Do you also notice a triune God here? There's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all of them involved in giving us these spiritual blessings. So it talks about God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. So God the Father has blessed us, and he's blessed us in Christ, that's the Son, with every spiritual blessings. Because these blessings are spiritual, they have come to us through the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, the first jewel that we want to examine, we want to take out that jeweler's magnifying lens and look up close at today, is this incredible truth that we have been chosen in Christ. Let me read verse 4. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. The first spiritual blessing is this great doctrine of election. Now, this is a doctrine which is difficult for us to understand. It's something that is debated amongst Christians. And even though we can never fully grasp it or understand the mystery that God has chosen us in Christ, even before the world was created, Paul wants us to praise God. Blessed be the God and Father. Let's praise God because he has chosen us in Christ Jesus. The Bible teaches us that God chose us, and if we are believers, he chose us for salvation. The initiative always starts with God. It wasn't us who went seeking after him. He chose us even before the foundation of the world. Now, God has always chosen people. We see this theme running the entire way through the Bible. So in the Old Testament, God chose Abraham. It wasn't as if Abraham was seeking after God. It wasn't as if he was looking for some spiritual encounter with God. In fact, we thought about this a few weeks ago in our series on Joshua, and we thought about how Abraham was a pagan. He worshipped idols. He worshipped gods that his family had made with their own hands. He wasn't seeking God, and yet God set his love upon him. And he chose Abraham, and he put his favor upon him, and he chose him to be the father of his chosen people, the children of Israel. And then as the family line continued, God chose Jacob over his brother Esau. He chose Jacob for the family line to continue through him. Now, Jacob wasn't the obvious choice. He was the younger brother. You would have thought he would have chosen Esau. That would have been the common logical thing to do. But no, he chose Jacob. And then through his family line, he chose his children to be the 12 tribes of Israel. He chose Israel, one nation, out of all the nations of the world, and he showered them with his love and his affection and his grace and his mercy as well. And why did God choose this nation, the children of Israel? Was it because they were seeking after him? Was it because there was some merit in them? There was some spiritual worth that won God's favor? No, that wasn't the reason. In fact, God gives the reason in Deuteronomy 7 and verse 7. Let's listen to these words. Not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples, but it is because the Lord loves you. It wasn't because you were a mighty nation. In fact, compared to all the other nations, you were small, you were weak, you were insignificant. Do you know why God chose you? He loved you because he loved you. Simply for his good pleasure, God put his love upon you. It was his sovereign choice. Now, people find this whole concept that God chooses people difficult. Why does God choose some people and save them over other people? It somehow in our mind seems unfair. It just doesn't seem right. But here's the reality. None of us want fairness from God. Let's be honest. You want God to be fair with you? I don't want God to be fair with me because that will require justice. And I don't want God's justice in my life because here's what I am. I'm a sinner. I'm a rebel. I am somebody who has constantly disobeyed God. I've constantly gone my own way. Even when I've wanted to do good, I have rebelled against God. I have sinned in many ways, in my thoughts, in my speech, in my action as well. Do I want fairness from God? Anything but. Do you know what I deserve? If God's going to be fair with me, I deserve separation. I deserve judgment. I deserve punishment. But the fact that God chooses any of us is simply an act of his love. It's simply an act of his grace extended out to us and his hand of mercy as well. In the New Testament, the book of Romans, Romans 9, it deals with this whole issue, why God would choose some over other people. Why does God choose some over others? Here's what God says in Romans 9. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. Ultimately, it is his sovereign choice. You see, a holy God is not obligated to choose anyone. He's not obligated to save anyone. We all deserve judgment. And if God sets his love and his affection upon us, it's all because of his good grace. That's why Paul is full of praise. Now let's think about the Apostle Paul who wrote this letter and he's praising God. Let's think about his life. Who was he? Well, he was somebody who was an enemy of Christ. He had that burning desire and passion to kill the followers of Jesus. He was there when the first Christian was martyred, Stephen. He was holding the coats. He was cheering on from the side. He was on his way to Damascus with letters from the authorities to put Christians into prison and to put them to death. And yet God broke into his life. He stopped them. He stopped them on his tracks on the road to Damascus. He saved them and he transformed his life. Paul would never have chosen Christ. In fact, he was Christ's enemy. There was nothing in his heart that was desiring or seeking God's grace until God broke into his life. He saved him. He transformed him. And that's why Paul praises God. Blessed be the God who has chosen us, chosen me before the foundation of the world. Even before I had done anything in my life, God had chosen me. He had set his love upon me, his mercy and his compassion. And without it, Paul would have been eternally lost. And so he praises God. God chooses people, though, for a purpose. And the second part of the verse says, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Do you get that second part? There's a purpose to God choosing people, that we would be holy and blameless before him. You see, election brings responsibility. We are chosen to do something. We are chosen to live as God's holy people, people who bring glory to him by the way that we are living our lives. It's the same as what the instructions that were given to the Israelites. I explained this earlier. God tells us, first of all, here's what I've done for you. And in the light of what I've done, here's what you should do. God has chosen us. He saved us if we're believers, and here's how we should behave. We should live holy lives, lives that are blameless, lives that reflect his glory in the world. And Paul sees the fact that the Christians in Ephesus have been chosen, this local church, they're believers, so God has chosen them, he has saved them, he's transformed them. He sees this fact that they were chosen before the foundation of the world as a precious jewel. It's a precious treasure. It's a spiritual blessing to look at and to look at with wonder and amazement and praise. Blessed be the God and Father who chose us. But not everyone views us in the same way. This is a difficult doctrine, this doctrine of election. And often it's not a source of praise, but a source of debate instead. What we read here in Ephesians 1 and in other places which talk about being chosen in Christ, being elected, has been rejected by many Christians. And it's been rejected because it's hard to understand. We can't quite grasp how it all fits together. How does it fit in with free will. We're not robots here. And so God has given us free will. There's also human responsibility. We're responsible for what we do, our actions here in life. And how do we balance these things perfectly with a God who chooses and elects, with human free will and human responsibility as well? And so as we try and grasp this, the mystery of it with our human minds and the limitations, trying to understand the mind of God, well, we don't get it. And because we don't get it, we don't like it. And so the easiest thing to do is to deny it and say, well, it doesn't really say what it says here. It's a huge mystery. Now, I don't claim to understand. I don't claim to understand how this all fits together, because it doesn't fit with our human logic. But let's not reject it. Because if we reject it, we're actually rejecting the words of Scripture. We're going down the line of a former US president, Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson was a man who made up his own Bible. He took the Bible, this kind of Bible here like we have, but as he read his Bible, he took a penknife to it. And whenever he came to a part that he didn't like, or he wasn't comfortable with, he would cut it out of his Bible and he would toss it aside. And so he was left with a Bible with all the bits that he liked, all the bits he was comfortable with and he was happy with. Now, we might laugh, we might scoff at that kind of approach, but sadly, people still do that today. They come to bits, maybe they don't grasp or understand or like or comprehend, and we just look over that bit. We ignore it or we deny it. But if we deny this truth, that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, we're rejecting the word of God. This is not man-made. This is from God himself. It's taught throughout the Bible. We see it through the Old Testament into the New, where God sets his love and his affection upon chosen people. Both Paul and the Apostle Peter as well, in their letters, in their writing, refer to Christians at times as the elect, those who have been chosen by God. Paul here doesn't try to give a detailed explanation. He doesn't try and take this mystery and unravel it for it, how exactly it works. He simply describes it as a blessing, and he praises God. And if you are a Christian, if you are a believer, your life has been transformed by Jesus Christ. And if that has happened to you, what I want to do this morning is hold up this gospel jewel, to hold up this gospel treasure, to hold up this gospel blessing, that you were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, that a holy God, a creator God, set his love upon you. He chose you, and he has put it into action to save you and rescue you, to hold this gospel treasure up for you to marvel at this morning. God chose you. You had no chance to impress God. He chose you before you were born. He set his love upon you. He sent Christ to rescue you and to save you. And you mightn't understand it, and you mightn't grasp exactly how it works, but this gospel treasure of election requires a twofold response. Same as what we have here in Ephesians. It requires our praise. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who chose us. Let's praise him. But it also requires holy living, that we live lives in response which are holy and blameless before him. So let's do that. Let's take some time as we continue in our service, when we come to our final song, to sing praises in your own prayers, in your own devotions, in your own quiet time. Let's praise God that he chose you. He chose you in Christ and he's transformed your life. And let's ask God, with the help of God the Holy Spirit, to live lives that are in the light of this, the lives that are holy and blameless in his sight. Now, some argue that the doctrine of election nullifies the need for evangelism. If God knows who's going to come to him, well, why bother sharing the gospel? God will draw these people to himself. He knows he will draw them. But again, that denies the teaching of Scripture. The Bible clearly teaches that God's means for bringing people to himself is through Christians sharing the gospel. Who wrote this letter? Who is it writing about being chosen in Christ? It's Paul. And who was Paul? He was the first great missionary. He was the one who expended his life going out in the difficult places, calling people to repentance, all people in different places. He believed this doctrine, and he spent his life calling people to Christ. In fact, he's the writer of the Romans. We've thought about Romans 9, where God says he will have mercy upon those who he has mercy. And then in the next chapter, chapter 10, it continues to write and says, well, how can they hear unless somebody preaches? And then Romans 10 and verse 13, we read these words, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever calls out will be saved from their sins and the judgment to come. And so I want to say the same to you this morning. Perhaps you have been watching our online services. You're not a Christian, but God has been speaking to you. God has been stirring things up in your heart and in your soul, and you've been drawn even to watch our service. Maybe you've been thinking about spiritual things. Maybe the things that have been happening in our world have got your attention. That is God who has got your attention, and he's possibly speaking into your heart and into your life and into your soul and making you think about spiritual things. Well, what do you do with that? Here's what the Bible says. The Bible is still true. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever calls out to Christ and says, Lord, save me. Save me from my sins. Be my Savior. Change me, transform me. Well, whoever does that will be saved. So call upon the Lord. Perhaps God is speaking to you. Call out to the Lord and be saved. Who wants to be a millionaire? That's where we started our sermon this morning. Well, I have something greater to share with you than £1 million. It's something that we read about here in Ephesians 1. It's all the riches. It's all the spiritual blessings that are found in Christ Jesus. And it's for those who call upon the Lord. And so may we all do that. Call upon him, trust him as our Savior, and experience these wonderful blessings that we have been chosen in Christ, that we are adopted into his family, that we are redeemed, we are set free. We have obtained a wonderful spiritual inheritance, and we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, this guarantee that what we experience now will bear fruit into a wonderful eternal inheritance. Let's rejoice in that this morning. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the great lessons that we discover in your word. Some of these things are difficult, and yet, Lord God, we realize that we cannot fully comprehend all things. So what we want to do this morning is we want to praise you. We want to praise that you would even choose anyone. We deserve judgment. We deserve punishment. We deserve all the wrath because of our sin and rebellion against you. And yet you have chosen us before the foundation of the world. You've set your love upon us. You've extended your hands of grace and mercy. And you've given us a salvation that we don't deserve. And we might not understand this. We have nothing of merit in our own lives. And yet you chose us. And may we rejoice and praise you and say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who chose us. May we rejoice in you, but may we take the responsibility of Christian living seriously. This doesn't give us an excuse to live any way we want, but may we take it seriously to live holy and blameless lives in the sight of our good God and Savior. Help us, we pray. We pray for those who are watching, who you've been speaking to, who you've been drawing to yourself, who have been thinking through spiritual things and the claims of Jesus Christ upon their lives. And so we pray this morning that they might call on to Christ and trust Christ as their Savior and start to experience these wonderful treasures, these wonderful blessings, which are ours in Christ Jesus. We pray these things in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We want to continue to praise God. We want to continue to praise God as we come towards the end of our service now. We're going to do that in our final song, which is called All Praise to God.
sovereign, barren, tender care. All praise to Him whose love is seen in Christ the Son, the servant King, who left behind His glorious throne to pay the ransom for His own. All praise to Him who well became to bear our sorrow, sin and shame, who lived to die, who died to rise, the all-sufficient
Thank you again for joining us this morning for our online service. If we can be of any help practically or spiritually, do contact us through our church website. You'll find all the details there. But let me finish with a word of benediction, these words from Colossians chapter 3. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Amen.